Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Taking the time in your schedule to tune in to your show with your co-host, Raising Expectations. I'm Pastor Joe Schofield. It's a privilege to greet you tonight. It's a privilege to share with you people who bless my life each week. And then we're going to share a wonderful man with you tonight and great testimony. And he's going to also share, his son will be there in just a while. I'll let you tell him all about Stephen. Again, we come to you from BBS Radio Television there in Texas, but I am located in the West Coast and I'm in the Sacramento capital area of California, still working at getting California to straighten out. It's an ongoing battle, but I'm working uphill. So you pray for me. But anyway, along with that, we do have in Southern California, in Lompoc, we have Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor. He's a great pastor, a great Bible teacher, professor. He is not a retired theologian because, as we often say, each week he
theologs.
Right. Thank you, Steph. I said he theologs. That's the word you want to look up because we're making it famous. It'll be worth a lot someday. He studies the word of God, applies it to life, and we get an idea of what's going on in his opinion. So he's in California. So we come to you from across the width and breadth of the nation, all the way to the East Coast. Two incredible people. Boy, I thank them. They got to stay up late to be with us. So they stay up really late. So if Stephanie and Tank there, Dr. Tank there, if they break into jumping jacks or something, she is an incredible life coach. So if they have to, because it's late at night back there, you just bear with them. Go ahead and get involved. And then you call them up. She'll get you in shape in no time. She is a life coach. She's a health specialist. She will teach you from the inside out your relationship with Christ all the way through to who he wants you to become and who he can help you be. So Stephanie Thayer there on the West Coast and her wonderful husband, Dr. Craig Thayer, who's a specialized surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He's the one that looks at it when you say, oh my goodness, what do we do now? And he is a great man of God who takes time to ask God every time, what do I do next? He's also a nutrition expert. So the dynamic duo all the way in the West. Now back to the center of the nation in Central America, which we lovingly call Texas. We have Pastor Ron Greer coming to us from McKinney, Texas. Ron's a retired, he's a retired pastor also. He was a Marine. He's ran for Congress. This guy knows what's going on in the world also, and he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, we love you, brother. We're so glad he's there in McKinney, Texas. And you can see just from the look that he's no longer shy. We often say this because he was kind of shy, but we got him out of his shell. Huh? We got him back to where he's not shy anymore. Oh, my goodness. When we all get together on our Raising Expectation retreat, we're sure going to have fun on this. But in any event, moving right along, we have somebody special today. And for time's sake, I want to just pitch this out to them. So you'll get to know this man. I met him years ago. And Vance's wife, name is Donna, Vance Greek. He is a pastor. He's a Christian entertainer extraordinaire. If you ever hear him sing, he sounds like Elvis, only 10 times as good. And he's really good. Boom, he's good. So you
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, there you go, fans. You're going to hear about a time in his life where God was going to do something that way, and he went another way. He's got a great testimony. He has a wonderful family, wonderful children. His wife, Donna, is an angel with him. They've been married going on 50 years now, I believe. So that's really incredible what God can do there. His son is Stephen. I'm going to let him talk all about that. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're just going to lay it out there. This wonderful group of people, Vance, they're going to be like family to you. Feel free, share your testimony, just like we would be talking over coffee like we used to years back. And then just, you want to ask him anything, we'll open that up. And then when Stephen gets there, he can talk some. Stephen will tell you about his son, his family. He's got a son, Daniel, son, Nathan, a son, Joshua. And boy, they used to walk in my office. We were in the same church. And when they come in, they were real little. Now, I don't know. I'm going to let you tell them how big he is. Boy, they're big boys, but they love Jesus. Vance, welcome, brother. We're glad you're with us, and we're anxious to hear what the Lord's laid on your heart. Thanks for sharing your life with us, and we want to give you the special welcome with the drum roll to Raising Expectations.
Thank you so much. What a privilege it is. Wow. Praise God.
Amen. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so very much. Yes. Well, I was holding my phone up a while ago because my grandson, Daniel, he's the one that's on scholarship for football quarterback at Mississippi State. Oh. He's a freshman. Yeah. And he just drove back to Texas yesterday. So maybe he can get on with Stephen. They're just coming back from a ball game. So anyway, it's great to be here. I was converted. Thank God I had a Christian mom and dad, but mom was really a student of the word. And so from very young, I heard the scriptures, and she used to, boy, she would preach it to us, and man alive, praise God, it took. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I grew up in the church, far from perfect, like we're all works in progress, aren't we?
Amen.
And, you know, it started early. My mom, my first paycheck for singing was in 1967. I was 17 years old, and I got paid. We were doing a men's prayer breakfast in Bryan, Texas, close to Texas A&M. And my sister and I came and sang, and the gentleman handed me a check for $5.
Hey, Paul.
And of course, yeah. And so my mom carried it in her purse. We never cashed it. My mom carried it in her purse for over 30 years. And she's, of course, she's singing with the angels now, along with dad and one of my sisters. But she presented it to me one year, and it was framed, and I've still got it somewhere. I haven't found it yet, but
oh, amen.
So it's one of those treasures that, you know, my first offerings, so to say, for singing for the Lord, $5.
Amen.
That poor guy never could balance his checkbook, though.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I went to East Texas Baptist University for one year and a semester. The summer after my freshman year, I was invited to tour the Northwest with a group of 30 college kids from all over the United States. And one of the pivotal things I remember was we had just concluded a service on July 20th, 1969. We just concluded a service in Seattle, and we were at the parsonage. And I was glued to the TV because that was the day that men landed on the moon. So, we toured all over the Northwest, Washington and Oregon, part of Idaho and Northern California. And then I got my first regular paycheck leading music outside of Jefferson, Texas, New Prospect Baptist Church. Yeah, they paid me $15 a week, and I would lead music and lead the choir Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And Yeah, that was. Oh, by the way, I always tithe because I was taught to tithe, you know. And so he would hand me a check for $15, and I'd hand him a check for $2. So I erred on the, you know. But you know, God's been with us all through the journey. My wife and I'll be married 50 years on July 20th, believe it or not. So we've got two wonderful kids. Stephen, of course, if he can jump in here, and his beautiful wife, Daisy, and they have three boys. Daniel, who's the one that is on scholarship for football at Mississippi State, quarterback. And then Nathan, and they're all 6'5" and more. You know, and my son's 6'5", and he's the head coach and athletic director in a suburb of Dallas called Ferris, Texas. And then our daughter is serving the Lord. She's Gina Funderburg. Her and her husband, Luke, live in the Houston area, and they have four little ones, Layla, Brandon, Logan, and Jason. So we have seven grandchildren out of two children, one granddaughter, and six grandsons. Wow.
Wow. And don't they homeschool them? Because Stephanie is an incredible homeschool teacher.
Yeah. Yes, my daughter Gina, she homeschools them. All that. Yeah, and does a marvelous job. And they're in the Houston area. They have a lot of support people for, you know.
Fantastic.
That they coordinate with. So it's a good thing. The only way to go nowadays, I think.
Amen. Amen.
So I have really tall children too. He's 6'5" and he likes to tease me because I'm the shortest one in the house. So I look at my teenage boys and I'm like, they're still very respectful.
Okay. I just got a call from Stephen. He said I'm on, but I'm muted. So there he is down at the bottom. You want to bring him on?
There he is,
I see Stephen and Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Stephen and Daniel. Yeah, cool.
TJ, can you get them on for us? There we go. Stephanie's our computer gal. If I ever have a question, I say, what do we do now, Steph? She knows it.
I'm not a host. If I was, I'd do it.
Put down the fudge.
That's a joke. That's a joke. They always tease me about fudge. Okay, so it says that he is asking Stephen to start his video and audio. That's all he can do.
Yeah, Stephen, okay. Lower left-hand corner of your screen.
Who's that?
Your son.
There you go.
Daniel.
There's Daniel. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel, where's the old guy?
Where's the old guy?
Michael.
Yeah, there's Stephen. Yeah. All right.
Daniel. Yeah.
I bet you're happy to have your son home.
Absolutely. Yes, we welcome
you. We just got back from officiating some junior high 7-on-7 football. We'll take care of that echo. Sorry about that.
There you go.
Yeah, this is my favorite son, Stephen.
I'm your only son, Dad.
Your only son.
Oh, that's right.
Same thing,
Steve.
Praise God. Stephen, I just gave him a little intro to my life and your mom.
So yeah, I heard it all. I love it. I love hearing it every time.
Yeah.
He didn't change anything, right?
No. It's
hey, Stephen. The gentleman above you is 6'5" too. He's an athlete, a polo, I believe, right?
Water polo.
Yeah.
Water polo.
We had two Division I athletes also, so I mean that's a really big deal for your son. We know what that takes.
Well, I married up. The boys take after their mother. She's beautiful. She's athletic, she's smart, and they got all her attributes. And so I've told them, they've got a chance in life. So keep doing that. But
amen.
We have fun. We're thankful for sure. Thank you for having us on tonight. And I apologize. I literally drove. I was dialing in, driving back from junior high 7-on-7 football. And so in the state of Texas, coaching high school football and junior high, it's a lot of fun trying to mold and shape the next generation and using the vehicle of athletics to impact lives. So that's kind of what we try to do.
Amen. That's it.
But now, what part of Texas, Stephen?
We're about 20 minutes south of Dallas.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So I've been in coaching for over 20 years. I've been in the public school in the state of Texas at the 6A level, which is the largest classification. And I've been in the private school market in the North Dallas area for, I guess, about 12, 13 years. And then recently, about a year ago, we rejoined the public school arena, felt called to this community and felt called just to, again, try to impact lives and have a lot of fun making a difference in our public schools. So,
praise God, you have a task cut out for you.
Hey, coach, state championship.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, amen.
How many state championships do you have, son?
Well, we had a nice little run there where we were competing. I think in 9 years we went to 6 state championships and won 4 of them. So that was fun.
It's great. Great.
Had a great group of kids, had great support, community support, and was able to build a pretty significant program. And then again, you keep pushing repeat every year. And then I think sometimes the Lord allows circumstances to kind of come your way, shake you up and say, I've got a new calling, you know? And so when those situations arise, I think your antennas pop up and you say, all right, what, where are we going next? It's a great adventure. I think there was a song about that, that Stephen Curtis Chapman sang a few years ago. So, you know, saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze.
We got a trail to blaze. Yeah, amen. Yeah.
We can understand that. We felt the calling to move across the country from California to Georgia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not much
it's
of a
wild
change.
And crazy, yeah,
just a little bit.
God always has plans, even if we don't know it, right? We just got to listen to what he's asking us to do.
Always.
May I insert a little bit of something that Stephen won't talk about, but I'm down on the Mexican border close to the Gulf of Mexico. So the very tip of Texas is where Stephen grew up. But during the 90s, 89 through 97, I had a show in Branson, Missouri, which was seasonal because our work down here in the wintertime with, they used to call them snowbirds, but we decided to go to all the chambers of commerce and say, look, this is not good. Let's change the name to Winter Texans. And so they bring a lot of scratch to the Rio Grande Valley. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, Stephen, Stephen had a kind of a very unusual upbringing through from his eighth grade to graduation in Branson, Missouri, because he would start the season playing football in Branson until the season was over in the wintertime. And then we'd migrate back down here to the Rio Grande Valley where I'd pick up. We'd been doing non-denominational worship services at that time as the largest RV resort in the country.
Fun and Sun,
where we would have during the peak of the season, we'd have over 2,000 people in attendance because just the RV resort alone would hold 3,000 people. And so there was a time when they said they couldn't fit any more people in. So they had to raise all the garage doors and we had over 3,000 for worship. In the 1970s and 80s, and even part of the 90s. But Stephen would come down in the wintertime and play basketball. And he was nominated to the McDonald's All-American basketball team. But he was also the star quarterback for the Branson Pirates, where they were ranked number one in the state of Missouri his senior year. Anyway, I don't want to brag on him too much, but he wouldn't tell you that kind of stuff. See?
Yeah.
Now, Daniel and Nathan and Joshua are following in his footsteps. Hey, Daniel, you want to say a word?
Yeah, tell us, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
How y'all doing? I call him Paul. So Vance, that's what I named him. So Paul just texted me out of the blue while I was driving back. And he's like, are you hopping on the Zoom call? And I was like, what Zoom call? So it's good to be here. Good to see y'all.
Daniel, good to have you, buddy.
I think
Daniel
in there.
Daniel is in. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, that's all right. I was just going to say something funny. That's called an audible.
It's anonymous.
Yeah, the good thing about playing for Coach Leach out of Mississippi State is he lets the quarterbacks make a lot of audibles. So I think Daniel just checked at the line of scrimmage and jumped on the call. So we appreciate that. But Daniel, you know, being a coach, I was able to coach I'm still coaching my two youngest sons. My wife and I, we have Daniel. Nathan will be a senior and Joshua will be a freshman in high school. And we love sports because it's given our family a platform, like I said, to try to make a difference in people's lives. And Daniel, we're proud of him. I'm sure if my dad keeps talking, he'll brag on me and he'll brag on his grandkids and brag on my sister, Gina. And thankful for the legacy that my mom and my dad and my grandparents before them lived and left. And there's no doubt that in today's day and age, you know, we just pray, my wife and I, by the grace of God, that we would be able to, in some small way, continue that ripple effect, you know, of encouraging people in their faith and deep relationships with their family. And we're humbled because we feel like we've got some amazing teenage sons that are following after the calling on their life. And so that's what we try to do around here, Joe.
Well, I'll say I'm very blessed with amazing parents and amazing grandparents. And not everybody has the blessing of having both sets of grandparents that pour into them along with their parents. Like ever since I was a little kid, I've been up on stage at Fun and Son singing in front of 200 people with my grandpa. So that's what I've grown up with. Just his musical background, and with my dad being my coach, we've got to do some pretty cool things together, and he got to coach me up all the way through high school. And so I'm very blessed to have that support of my grandpa, of course, my grandparents, my family, and just pouring into me on the music aspect and with sports.
Daniel, I have a question for you.
Of course.
How do you feel like faith plays a role in your life right now?
I would say there was a big transition going off to college about a year and a half ago. I graduated early and going to play Division I football. And so 8 hours away, you don't have that support of your family. Your parents aren't there to tell you to get in bed. And you pretty much have to do what you want. And so my faith kind of really became my own. I had that structure of my parents and grandparents taking us to church every week and telling us, okay, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Amen. But now in college, you've got to make that decision for yourself. And so for me personally, I've chosen to follow Jesus through that and live for him. And so I'm not starting right now or anything. I'm just, my mindset is right now, I'm working every day, my mind, my body, just to continue to strive after Jesus and pursue him and work as hard as I possibly can to his glory. And then I've also been able to plug in with the local church that I attend and help lead there.
Amen.
Well, and I think Daniel, one thing we encouraged him and will continue to do is, well, man, once you go off to college, find a home church, find a small group Bible study, someone that's going to encourage you. And he's been able to find a local church that has loved on him. I know the first year we couldn't make it to Easter. So one of the assistant pastors knew that Daniel was from Texas and was not going to have a place to go. So they reached out and invited him to Sunday dinner after Easter service. So it's that kind of love and servant's heart. He's plugged into a local church. And now a year and a half later, he's been invited to help be part of their leadership team to the college, you know, college ministry and students. He's volunteered at Disciple Now weekends to go impact teenagers from around Mississippi. He's been invited to be speak and sit at one of the host tables at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes ministry there at the bowl game in Memphis this past year, and sat on stage with Coach Sonny Cumbie, formerly from TCU and Texas Tech, who's now the head coach at Louisiana Tech, so who actually recruited Daniel over the years from Texas. But I guess the cool thing as parents is to see
God's grace at work in our lives because we are far from perfect. And I think that's the example that my mom and dad and my grandparents lived out was we all need the grace and the love of Jesus. And then we need to become experts at forgiving each other because we're going to hurt each other. And most of the time, hopefully it's not intentional. and my wife and I will be this August, be celebrating our 25th year of marriage. We've been together since junior high. She was an eighth grader and I was a freshman. I pursued her and she ran away from me for about 3 years. And finally, my junior year,
she was setting the hook.
Yeah.
Well, setting the hook.
All I know is I cried a lot of tears till she said yes. But we got married in college, 19. She was 19. I was 20. And you look back now and it seems like it's just, it's come and gone so quickly. And so to be, you know, celebrating Mother's Day yesterday with my wife and to look at all the family pictures and the baby pictures, like, man, life is a vapor. And I try to talk to my mom or dad at least every other day, if not every day, through FaceTime. And we try to stay connected through text messaging and social media and just thank technology, because it allows us to continue to love each other. And until, you know, we're going to be together here in a couple of weeks. And always cherish the moments that we are able to be together. So, again, just thankful tonight to get on and be able to share a little bit of our story. But I don't know if you can tell, we love each other. My dad, if you gave him the microphone, he'd keep bragging on all of us. But we can shut up and you can keep asking us questions, because we just want to brag on God's faithfulness in our family tonight.
Amen. Well, that's why I was asking Daniel, is that just as a parent, as a mom, I still have two teenage sons that are at home, like, keep them alive and they'll be okay. But that is, like, I think a parent's heart is that you raise your children just to love and live for the Lord. And I don't think it's an accident that you are essentially in a position of leadership, whether you know it or not yet, and that you are going to have profound impact on the community around you. And I can hear it in your dad, and I can hear it in your granddad, Pa, as you call him. Like, each of them is using their different abilities. And I think that's the only thing we really get to leave, right? Is to share our faith, to give it to those we love around us, the next generations to carry it on. And so it's great to hear, especially in a young person, because you have a lot of worldly challenges occurring around you.
Yeah. Just going to college, there was definitely some challenges. I faced a lot of loneliness, like, the first few weeks. I went middle of the year during COVID, during online classes. And so I wasn't interacting really with anybody. I didn't really know anybody. And so that first month, first 3 weeks to 4 weeks, I didn't know anybody really. And so that was one of my big prayer requests, was asking the Lord to send me friends. And out of the blue, I had some guys text me that knew of me. So I got to meet some of my friends I still have today. So
let me say this. Daniel's favorite subject is apologetics. So that's pretty heavy in itself. So Daniel, maybe you can take that and run with it a minute.
Well, weird kid, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a
he theologues. Yeah.
Theologues. All righty.
Well, Paul and I, or Vance and I, have a lot of deep conversations. We talk about the Lord a lot, about, like, theology. And so one of my passions is just being ready to defend the gospel. And so I actually had one of my roommates ask me about that. So I got to share the gospel and why I believe what I believe the other day, in fact, last week. And so that's one of my big passions, is just having answers for my faith.
Well, and what I appreciate in our family, you know, my grandfather used to preach, and he used to say, you know, find a passage of scripture and run for the cross, because for all sort of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. And I mean, where would any of us be if it weren't for the cross, the resurrection, the empty tomb? Our hope is in the Lord. On the good days, he gets the praise and the glory. And on the bad days, we get to bow at the feet of our Savior, and he cleans us up. And that sun comes up every morning, and we praise. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And I don't know how people go about their day and live their lives and try to raise their families and run in the rat race without the blessed hope And that's not a, I hope that doesn't come across as an arrogant statement for those who might still be seeking, you know, that there are seekers out there. There are people in today's environment, whether it's political environment, whether it's the things that are going on in our country, the various debates that can get so heated. I think the church, we as a body have been guilty of just being ultra aggressive and trying to win arguments instead of just love people and let the Holy Spirit do what only he can do anyways. And that's change the heart of man, change my heart, mm-hmm. change your heart. And I don't know about y'all, but I got a long way to go. Right. So I think our family, we're so messed up that we just know we need Jesus. That's probably.
Amen.
Amen. Oh,
what's,
wow.
What's been your biggest challenge in coaching your kids?
Coaching my own sons.
Yeah.
We had to have an agreement early on, probably starting in about fourth or fifth grade. You know, here I am, a high school coach that's winning state championships. And then all of a sudden they started playing youth sports, and the volunteer dads would say, "Hey, do you want to coach?" And I'd be like, "No, because I know that day's coming. I just want to be a dad as long as I can." But around the sixth grade-ish age, I started getting a little more involved, trying to help, because I knew the day was coming when you're a coach in the state of Texas, there's a lot of pressure, and that's fine. And that's fun. It matters. And so we love competition. But also the other thing is when you're coaching your own kids, I've been fortunate to be around a lot of guys who've done that right and well, and they let their own kids get coached hard. You don't want to play favorites because that ends up hurting them down the road with their own peers. Right. And kind of had this agreement, almost like a movie script going into this, that, you know what, I'm going to coach you harder than anyone could ever imagine, that they would be amazed or at the thought of, they do not want to be a coach's kid because I don't want to be coached that hard. And there were days that we just kind of had an agreement going into it that, son, I am going to tear into you today because your teammates need to see that you about to get coached harder than anybody. And it's been challenging because they've had success individually and we've had success as a team over the years. And with success comes accolades and the spotlight. And so sometimes there's accusations from the peanut gallery, if you will, of people that think they know that start bad mouthing you or your kids when they've tried to do nothing but put the team first. And I'm thankful to be in a community that's been very supportive of not only myself and my wife and what we're trying to build as a athletic program and community, but they've actually received our boys with open arms as they continue to strive to use their gifts to better and help the team. So from my vantage point, you probably want to ask Daniel, from my vantage point, we kind of had this agreement that I am going to coach you very hard and you have one response. Yes, sir. Coach, make me great. There's no back talking. There's no discussions on the field, on the drive home, maybe. And then, you can go cry to your mother and then she'll be the soft pillow. But here's the one last thing I'll say about that. I wanted to make sure that however I coached my son, that we had this understanding and agreement because 10 hours after the season's over, I want to always be their daddy. Amen. And I want to have that relationship with me. Winning's important, but it's not that important. And one of my mentors, Joe knows him, Neil Jeffrey, said this. He was a star quarterback for Baylor back in the 70s and 80s. And he stood before a group of men and challenged all of us. He said, you know what? Football is a great sport, but it makes a lousy idol and a lousy God. And so I never wanted to sacrifice my marriage or my children on the altar of success or to be a successful football coach. So what that means to me is I always, even though I was going to coach my kids hard, they always understood why and where it was coming from. It was coming from a place of trying to be the best we can absolutely be. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, you know, do as unto the Lord and not unto man. And then understand that if you ever had a bad day and you felt like I crossed that line and took it too far at home, pull me aside. Let's cry together. Let's hug each other. Let's encourage one another because we're into this together.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Daniel, it's your turn.
Daniel probably has his own.
Hello, Daniel. Let's hear it, Daniel.
Okay, so I coach my boys I coach my boys in water polo. So what are the things I shouldn't do?
Well, to that, I'll say, yes, we had that agreement. And there was, you know, that was that's kind of started in middle school, seventh grade. I was trying to figure out the quarterback thing and help lead my team. And so we made that agreement back in sixth or seventh grade. And he said, like, as a coach's son, I'm going to coach you harder than anybody else. And it might not be your fault. The receiver might drop the ball, or it might be your fault, but I'm going to just – some days I'm going to tear into you anyway, because that's what the team needs to see. They need to see that I'm hard on you, and that you can take it and handle the pressure and be a leader. And so we had that discussion, and we had that that agreement, but it didn't always feel like that though. There'd be some practices where I might not have the best day, and my dad would just tear into me during the day and get in my face in front of everybody, or and so we'd hop in the car afterward, and he'd smile, turn and smile at me. Hey, how was your day, son? My dad, you were just ripping me like 10 minutes ago. But, you know, we had to learn to kind of flip the switch on and off. We talked about football at the house every now and then, but once we were off the field, I always knew he was my dad, and he loved me and cared about me and was for me.
Well, and remember what he's saying about ripping him. It was a movie, y'all. It was a movie script, and we were fulfilling it. We had to. And the other thing is, people think that I coach football, but I'm actually training champions.
That's right.
We live in a society today where young men, if they don't have grit, if they don't have resolve, if they don't have feet to stand on, convictions and passion, and understand that the winds are going to come and blow, and we don't need men with the spine of a spaghetti noodle. You know, the Bible says, set your face like a flint. Mm-hmm. And that was what we were trying to, you know, for me, it was a training ground. Yes, football, throw it to the open guy, read your coverage, throw it before the blitz can get to you, so your mom's not elbowing me saying, why, you know, yeah, why is he taking it? So I was always coaching toward this level of excellence. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it's translated. Now you're in the SEC and the Division I level, and you have future NFL players running at you to rip your head off. Hopefully some of what I taught him helped with that learning curve. Yes. As he continues to just try to be the best he can be for his team and teammates in the locker room and on the field. But again, we were building, yes, a football program and coaching quarterback play and wanting to be the best we could be. But, you know, we also felt like we were reaching. I always pray that I could reach not only through my own son's heart, but all the kids that have been entrusted to me, and reach that next generation. And hopefully what we're training now, we will see the fruit 5 and 10 and 20 years down the road.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, because Junior Olympics are in Dallas. They were last year. They'll be there again this year. And I'll tell you, the Texas kids are very respectful, and they just know they're young men becoming men. Amen. And that's great. So it sounds like you've done that.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah. Paul, you got an audible?
I just say, by the grace of God, you know,
my brain was parallel.
I'm so proud of, Stephen and Daisy.
Yeah.
And what they're doing with my grandson, my oldest grandsons. And we're so proud of them. But we realize that we're all works in progress. And so, I think part of marriage, you know, if you're gonna cause a marriage that can last to 50 years, you know, 80% of it or maybe more is learning how to forgive. You know.
So, speaking of marriage, here's my beautiful bride.
Hey, Daisy.
Hey, Daisy.
The coach's wife had an ice chest with water bottles and snacks and taking it home. And so she's gonna step onto the scene while Daniel exits.
Hello.
Hi, Daisy.
See you, Daniel.
So he was correct. You did give the boys the beauty, for sure.
I told him their looks, athleticism, and brains from you. So they got a chance.
let me jump in real quick. Our first year in Branson, I believe it was, wasn't it, Stephen? You were in eighth grade. And we moved back to the Valley to continue our winter stuff. And he and I were outside shooting basketball, right? And two girls come walking down the street.
I know this story.
and Daisy and her cousin were walking by. And so they talked, and I went in the house and let them talk, you know. And so finally, after he came in, I said, "Who was that tall girl?" Because she had just moved to our town. And he said, "That's Daisy Dove." Well, it just so happens that I grew up with her dad and her aunt. And so anyway, it wound up being, you know, praise God. Daisy, we love you. You know that.
Amen.
Proud of you.
Two special people, absolutely yeah. Special people. Yeah. I tell you what, Ron, you have a question? I tell you what, or Stephanie, it's great. We have another lady. See, we only have Stephanie Daisy right now. Stephanie is, we refer to her as the rose among the thorns, but you know, she does a great job.
Yeah, it kind of smooths us out here, you know, just smooths us out.
Takes care of it, yeah.
Well, I guess I do have a couple things. One is you are a coach in a public high school, which in itself is, from my experience, can be interesting. So one of the issues I deal with my guys and then I train is if you're in that environment, how do you maintain or intentionally impress upon folk there your witness for Christ in the lives of the young men you face? And I guess, because one of the things that I think most people don't consider is you can ask, I have guys that are in their 70s down to their 30s, right? And the guys that are 50, 60, 70 years old, I can ask them the name of their high school football coach, and they'll tell me his name. Amen. And they'll tell me stories about it to this very day, and they're in their 70s. So it's a very special relationship and very special dynamics there that sort of impact the man's life for decades to come. So my question to you is, how do you go about impacting their lives, not only as men, become good men, but how do you find a way to impact them with your faith in a public school environment? I know that's difficult, my wife being in that environment.
Right. I appreciate that question. I think, first of all, you know, when we kick off our coaches training, so I'm the athletic director as well. So I've been over the year. That was when I was 18 years old, I knew I wanted to be an athletic director and head football coach. And I don't know why, just the competitive nature of sports and just, I felt wired that way. And with my grandfather and my dad being in the ministry, I always felt like that whistle around my neck was my pulpit. But in the public school, you want to do it the right way. I mean, you want to do it in such a way where I just try to be authentic in front of my kids and hope that they see my heart and my love for them. And so the Reverend Billy Graham said, a coach can impact more lives in 1 year than the average person will in a lifetime. If we truly believe that, then what a humbling perspective to take, like, oh my gosh, Lord, if you can, you would use me to reach these teenagers during these formidable years. So we have 6,570 days from birth to graduation as parents, or 18 summers until our kids go off to college. And about fifth or sixth grade, parents hand their kids off, in essence, from the youth little league t-ball sports activities. They get into junior high, they go to school for 8 hours a day, then to practices fall, winter, and spring, whether it's in the band, fine arts, one-act play, drama, chess club, or athletic sports. So all of a sudden around sixth or seventh grade, our boys and girls will spend more time with their athletic coaches in many cases than they will their own parents, basically starting around the age of 12. So that age, that window of 12 to 18, there's a huge window for influence. So what we've tried to do, whether when we were in high school or in college, we were part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA club, which those are legal around the country because they are student led. So you asked a question to me, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes club, FCA, just like there's a chess club or any other club that's legal and sanctioned, as long as it's student led, you just have to have an adult sponsor. Having an FCA club at the local junior high and high school still to this day is legal, and it's the most effective way to use the vehicle of athletics to draw kids in, play a game, have a student-led devotion, and as a coach, when you just support and love your kids through that, they start to see there's something different about coach. There's something different. So we try to live that out in front of the kids that we're entrusted to, whether they see hopefully an authentic marriage, not perfect, but authentic, and our family interact. And so if they ask, we share, and we're just thankful for that platform.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, what? One other question for your dad here. Fun and Son, are you guys still pastoring, doing a church there now, this day, still today?
Yes, sir.
And Joe mentioned something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we lost momentum during the,
COVID. Yeah.
And so, but we're back in stride now, but most of the winter folks have gone back to their homes in the north. Okay. And all so right. Our crowds are down, but we still had 122 counting the puppy dog that, what do they call those dogs that help the, counting the dog, we had 122 people. Yeah.
So, now Joe mentioned you guys doing some work down on the border.
You know, that's well, I tell you what, go ahead and share that. We have to have you all back. You have really, really stirred people. Yeah, I'm
the
looking
clock at, again. The clock.
I hate this clock. I've only got like just a few. Can you give them a teaser on that? And then we're going to come
this
back.
This is a Bible. This is a Bible that was printed up specifically for the illegal young men under 18 that are housed in the facility where we were holding services, but now we're back at Fun and Son. This is specially in Spanish, and it even has some cartoons, full color cartoons that share the gospel.
Amen.
And they baptized, we bought a portable baptistry. Mm-hmm. And so they baptized over 5,000 of these young men.
Ooh, wow. Amen.
Praise God.
Wow, that's great.
And, God. So we're taking a bad situation. Okay, we acknowledge that it's not best, but rather than we're trying to reach out and share the gospel with them, right. We're not even allowed to take pictures with them because it's a federal program. And so we have to kind of walk a real tight balance, you know. But we are able to share, not able to give names or anything, but like I say, we pay for thousands and thousands of these Bibles that go. And so they're getting the gospel, you know. Praise and God. They're there about 90 days is about the average turnaround and until they find foster parents or relations here in the States. If not, then they have to go back. So
praise God.
But it's an outreach that most people can't hear about because we're not allowed to publicize it. Wow. Because we're walking a delicate line there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah. Makes me think of Andrew Murray passing out the Bibles. Remember, we were young in the ministry and behind the Berlin Wall, the Iron Curtain, passing out. That's
Brother Andrew.
Doing? That's something, boy. I know you're really busy. Just an athletic director with the 5 billion things you got to cover, and but maybe Daisy can help you with that. She always is such a great help. So good to see you too. You know, we got to have you guys back, and I got to make one quick commercial, and this is it. Here it is, coming quick. You ready? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you already know this commercial, and I still don't have my sign. Our high tech, I don't know where the sign is, but we're here on the radio today by your loving generosity, your gifts, and for the donations that you make. So I'm going to give you the address. You ready? And I'm going to give you another one in a minute. So I have your pen ready because I want you to know how to find the site that Daisy made, I understand, just for your ministry. We're going to be giving that out in a minute. Okay, if you will help us stay on the air, if you help us, actually, you're going to meet the, they're going to be back. We're going to bring them back. Even if you have to drive down there and get them. But here's the deal. Here's the website for you. It's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. If you go on there, you can find all of our shows. You'll be able to find this program. We'll be on there for you by Wednesday morning. You'll be able to watch it all week. Most of the people tune in, but they also watch all week from the information I get back. So if you can donate, whatever you can give, if God lays it on your heart. And for those of you that do give, thank you. You make this possible. We thank God for your generosity. We thank God for who you are. Okay, that's enough of that. I hate talking about money. Pastors hate that, right, Stephen? We can't stand talking about money. That's like athletic directors trying to get money for school. You got to use somebody else to help and get that part out. That's, you know, that's not your favorite thing, probably. But we've got about 3 minutes, guys. Let's go ahead and then I'm going to work really hard, Stephen, somehow to get you back. And please give your son a big hug for us and tell him what a blessing. And we're going to be rooting for him this year. Daisy, you did a good job keeping him safe all through that years of football. Good job. You did a job. If he's still there, you did a real good job. He still looks. I remember the first time I saw him, he was about 5'8", 5'6", 8", somewhere in there. Something happened. Huh, Vance? Whoa. Whatever he ate for breakfast, that was good stuff. Really good stuff. Who's got a question? We've got 3 minutes. Help me out on this. So watch your watches. We're going to get them back. We got about 3 minutes on airtime.
Paul, come on.
I've taken delight tonight in listening because there is a parallel between coaches who have sons and pastors who have sons.
Yeah.
To try and build them up. And I remember one time my son said to me, this was a number of years ago. He said, Dad, I love you. I love what you do. I love what you say. But couldn't you do something else for a while? You know, I heard that desperation in his heart, you know, but it's a consistency because that same young man now is playing in a praise band in a church that runs about 50 in California. But I asked him what he thought of it. And he says, I love it. You know, I love it. You know, you instill that kind of love in them and it takes root and it grows. You know, I love what Paul said, you know, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He's always faithful to his word. And Daniel and Daisy and Vance, thank you so much. You know, thanks for sharing your life. Keep it up. You know, you're serious about serving and the enemy's serious about trying to knock you down. Some wise person says, not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up. Is that right?
Jim Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Great stuff.
Yeah. Ron, you got 60 seconds. You got a thought, bro?
Oh, wow. I'm a Baptist preacher. I get 60 seconds. Okay. I just want to thank you also. And again, Vance, for your legacy here, and Stephen and Daisy. I work with men, I train men, and I'm the guy who's coming around in the back trying to help pick up the pieces. But there are people, couples like you, and there are coaches like you who love the Lord, who love people, and who understand the impact you can have on young men's lives. And as you said, the impact is immeasurable in most people's mind, but there are guys like me down the line who see it on both sides. So thank you and praise God what you do and keep doing it. Keep Christ first. And I'm telling you, there'll be guys talking about you when you're long gone.
Amen, Ron. Amen. That's it. I tell you what, I'm going to jump,
60 seconds.
Hey, that's a miracle. Look, you said, Steph, go ahead real quick.
Did you have a nonprofit website or something that you wanted
to
do?
Here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. It's Lighthouse Fellowship, INT.org. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Got it right? Okay. I wanted to make sure. Lighthouse Fellowship, INT.org. Okay. That's the website. I looked at it. If you made that, Daisy, you did a beautiful job. It looks great. Really good work. And Vance, I just want to tell you guys, your family has blessed my life a long time. We were in a large church together. I watched you guys. I watched your boys. I watched you at the football games. You were a great coach. I never, ever saw Daisy without a smile and joy in her face anywhere in the halls of this church where I had a small ministry too. You blessed my life. And when I look for people, much like Ron and like Paul said, the same thing, that are encouragement to me, you're right on the top of the list. And your dad, Vance, we go way back there together. So when you said $5 on a check, Paul and I said amen. So that was good. We remember that. So you're in our prayers, brother. We're going to pray for you down there. And please consider this. I'm going to get back to you. We'd love to have you back. We'll try to work it somehow. Stephen, thanks for taking all the time. You worked hard to be on here tonight, and we were blessed. There are lives that were changed by what you said tonight, and we're going to be following you and checking in all the way down the line. All right, ladies and gentlemen, raising expectations. If you didn't get your expectations stoked and fired up and raised tonight, do this. Take your hand, put it right here. You may not feel a pulse because you missed it tonight. They're talking about what God does. If you don't feel something and don't feel in your heart tonight, you missed out on that. So we'll be back next week, same time, same station. We will have again from Fox 4 News. David Ray will be with us from Fox 4 and Dallas. And in any event, we'll look forward to having you guys back with us. And God bless you. You're in our prayers. Thanks for being with us tonight. We bless
you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for being with us. Love you guys. Okay. Thanks so much. All right.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.